This episode of Film Sack is brought to you in part by Audible.com, with more than 100,000 downloadable titles, including periodicals, books, bridged, unabridged, all kinds of cool stuff. You can get a free one right now by going to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. That's audiblepodcast.com/filmsack.
Captain Robertson, sir. It's a cutter. They say the Eldridge has vanished.
Of course she has. She's radar invisible.
No, sir. She's really vanished. She's gone.
Get me the captain of the Eldridge on the radio right away.
It's impossible.
Durga, durga, durga.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 164. My name is Scott Johnson, and joining me tonight, hold on, Brian, he's Radar Invisible Dunaway.
Oh, I am Radar Invisible. I saw the Coke I drink. All right. In this scene, we need some birds and a few foghorns, some dinghies off in the distance for this harbor shot. Caw-caw! Caw-caw! Ding, ding, ding.
We are.
Wow. Also, here, drink this Coke. It transcends time and pace for this movie.
Perfect. That was good. Your caw-caw. You had me at caw-caw.
Man, I swear that was just over-the-top harbor scene sound.
Right. Yeah, it was. That's ridiculous. Joining us also, Randy, who's going to pay for that broken battle zone, Jordan?
Aloha, Brian. Brian, Scott. Mm-hmm. So, I've got this great, and I mean great idea for how we can win this war. What we're going to do is, we're going to make a warship invisible. And how we're going to do that is this. We're going to use electricity. We're going to use so much electricity that we run the risk of tearing a hole in space. I'm now going to take questions from the audience, but I swear if anyone asks me again why we don't just use that kind of energy as a weapon in the first place, I swear to God, I will end you.
I feel like we've had this conversation before about another disappearing battleship, but anyway,
right?
Back to that later. Also with us, Brian, that RoboCop lady sure has pretty hair, Ibbit.
Oh my God, Jimmy, we just time traveled through the opening credits of Doctor Who onto a giant manhole cover.
Oh, nicely
done. Those special effects were special.
Special in a very special kind of way. It's the Philadelphia Experiment, 1984's version of it. There's been remakes. There's been TV movies. There's even been a sequel. There's been a what? A sitcom? No. There's been a musical on Broadway. Come on now.
I'm sure there's been a porno.
Yeah. The Philadelphia, what would they call that? Let's think about that.
Oh, my God. I don't want to know.
Philadelphia.
Yeah, Philadelphia Experiment.
Sex experiment.
Sex experiment.
Right. Yeah. There it is.
It just disappeared.
The Philadelphia Sex Experiment. There's your name.
Disappeared. Oh, there it is again.
It's the worst movie. All right. Well,
it's more like a submarine than a battleship.
Yeah, you're right. Good point. Wait, well said. All right. Well, let's let Fletcher have his say before we do anything else.
Philadelphia Experiment. During World War II, the government was trying to develop a way to render their naval vessels undetectable to radar. When the scientists in charge of it think they have done it, they try it out on one of the ships in the Philadelphia Harbor. When they turn it on, the ship disappears. Two of the ship's sailors find themselves in 1984. While they try to figure out what's going on, the scientist who developed the technology in 1943 is now involved with a project that somehow brought the two sailors to 1984. And it seems that a black hole has emerged, and he thinks the sailors can help, so he tries to get them. Yay!
You don't have to watch the movie now. You're done.
Wow.
I haven't heard.
Did we watch?
I didn't hear this until we just played it. That's awesome. Oh my gosh. That was a long one. So apologies, Scott Fletcher, for giving us such a beast to read. But that pretty much sums it up. That's your movie right there, directed by Stuart Raphael. He is known for movies like, I'm going to give you a couple of examples here. This dude is known for, come on, slow, being slow. Experiment. Mac and Me.
Oh, yeah.
The E.T. ripoff, right.
Right, right.
The Ice Pirates.
That's a fantastic movie. We almost watched that on here too, didn't we? Because it was supposed to be
I think so, yeah. And I think it got pulled. Mm-hmm.
Recently, something called Standing Ovation. Standing Ovation.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Standing Ovation. That's the one. Bad Girl Island. Croc was a TV movie. I kind of remember that.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Sci-fi, wouldn't it?
Yep. A bunch of other stuff I've never even heard of. So,
did you watch Bad Girl Island for film sack?
Did we? No.
No, I'm saying can we?
Oh, can we? Sure. Is that a thing? Bad Girl Island? Yeah. I've never heard of it.
It was 2007. You just named it. It was this 2007 project.
Oh, did I just read that? Okay, yeah, 2007. Yes. Oh, my gosh. At that. Look at that girl. She's bad. All right. Well, anyway.
She's on an island.
4.5. Who's the girl? Anna Lynn McCord.
Oh, Anna Lynn McCord from Nip Tuck and Beverly Hills 90210, the new thing that I've never watched.
She's cute, but her lips are totally weird. Took her lips out. She got weird lips. She's in Transporter 2. Okay, I remember her from that. Anyway, she's cute. Weird lips. All right, moving on. Let's see. Written by Wallace C. Bennett. I wish it was written by Wallace Shawn. Then I'd be really excited about this. Charles Berlitz. A bunch of stars, people like Michael Perret, Nancy Allen. You know her from RoboCop.
Robert Burby.
Eric Christmas is in this. Anyway, you know, if you don't know these names, it's because you shouldn't.
And don't forget Keen Holiday, who has the best IMDb photo ever.
Greatest photo ever.
Oh, really?
I was waiting for my partner, Brian Dunaway, to call this. I was not going to take the thunder away from Keen Holiday.
Oh, my God, that's the best one.
You have to go see this.
Why is that in there like that?
It is a picture of his shoulder.
I don't want to be in the acting industry anymore.
But if you click it, so click it and it expands it. What I think it is he doesn't know how to crop his own image when he put
it
up there.
It's a bad cropping. It's a really wide picture, and it's a wide format picture. I think they just did the center thing.
They didn't realize that they were going to get top right justified.
This dude was on Matlock. That's where I recognize him from.
He was in quite a few things. Matlock was the thing.
He was the army guy with the afro in this one, right?
Yeah, in 1984.
And
in this movie, he takes the hardest unscripted fall I've ever seen an actor take. Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. I watched this scene like four times because it's just a chase scene on foot and they're running through the snow. Mm. And the actor he just throws himself into running on the snow and in the middle of a street falls hard.
Yeah,
like,
real hard.
Nose breaking fall. It's amazing.
Right. They kept it in.
A fall like that since, what was we watching where she fell on her face a little weak?
I don't know. I watch a lot of fail videos on YouTube, so I'm probably not the best person to ask.
But they kept this in, and they also kept in the last few seconds afterwards when the actor gets up, and he is out of character at that point. He is completely looking. He's looking at a PA. You know, he's not even thinking about this.
Yeah, and they left it in. They've done that a couple times in this movie. There's a line in the movie that was clearly a flub, and he just kept it in.
Right.
I'll play that later. But Stephen Tobolowsky's in this, right?
Mm-hmm.
We love him.
Fairly early on film, too, for him, because he's really young and he's...
Ned Meyerson, for those who don't know.
Ryerson.
What did I say, Meyerson?
Needle Nose Ned.
Yeah, Needle Nose Ned.
Needlehead.
Wasn't it Needle Nose? I think it was Needle Nose Ned. I think. Needle Hose?
Oh, he was about to go somewhere. I didn't want you to go.
Watch that first step.
Ryerson.
Anyway.
Ned the Head.
Stephen Tobolowsky's awesome. If you want to see him...
This is his fourth movie.
You want to see him in a trippy, cool, great role that's just different for him, watch him in season 3. I haven't seen 4 yet, so I don't know. But in season 3 of Justified, he was really good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's got his own podcast, and it's fantastic.
Is it good? Right. Oh, I haven't heard it. Oh, I'd love to hear that.
And I'm trying to remember what it's called.
Let me tell you something about this movie.
The Needle Nose Podcast. Yes.
Right. This is a movie from 1984, one of the greatest years in film history for those who grew up during that time. And the sound mix on this one was mono.
Yeah.
This was at a theater in mono.
And it was, okay, that maybe answers a question I have about the quietness of everything. The dialogue was real, like sound effects and things going on and music and stuff seemed really loud. And so it'd be like, blah, 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 and you just, yeah, what do we think? It felt like they were mumbling and whispering everything in this film.
Yeah.
Is that why? Because of that mix?
Right, right.
All right.
And I don't know if
the
they
Tobolowsky
just...
Files, by the way, is the name of the podcast.
Tobolowsky Files. I will. Yes. I will listen to that. That sounds great
stuff. Like it's him remembering all these roles. He probably has one where he talks about this.
Is it with other people or just him?
Yeah, he has guests on.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Nice. Well, I'm into that. I'm all up in that. Sorry, Brian, you were Dunaway. You were saying something.
That was it. Mono. I couldn't believe it. I was like, really? Mono? But 1984.
That seems
a lot of films in mono then?
I think it was a crossover time, wasn't it? Kind of a some were and some weren't. Like everybody couldn't be Lucas like with their Return of the Jedi.
The change over to Panavision and stuff kind of thing.
Yeah. Seems about right. But remember, this is that big year. This is 84, right? This is when all movies came out that matter. And I didn't know this one was even a thing. I didn't know this existed until we started talking about it. So, and apparently this is sort of roughly based on somebody's account of a real thing that happened, which is...
Right. This is conspiracy theory stuff from way back.
Yeah. So this says right here, the film is widely believed to be based on a real life and ill-fated experiment of invisibility and force fields in the 1940s. However, to the best of any factual knowledge, no such experiment ever occurred. And the story was the work of an eccentric loner, Carl Allen, who sent notes on the experiment to the government in the 50s and whose story was later leaked.
So a madman.
Yeah. Listen to this. This is the definition of a conspiracy theorist these days. Despite the lack of any actual factual evidence, the story has become an urban legend and a favorite of conspiracy theorists. Isn't that kind of how it works? The less you can prove it, the more true it is.
Right.
I hate that kind of stuff, but
I love this kind of stuff.
Well, I like it as a movie, sure. As an idea, I don't mind it. I just don't like when people run around telling everyone it's based on a true story. That's just stupid. That's like still trying to convince me that the Blair Witch Project was a real thing.
Oh, right. You know?
I mean, I kind of enjoyed it.
Wasn't real?
No. The only thing real about that movie is that girl's booger running down her nose in the middle of the tent. Man,
so scared,
and I should have brought some Kleenexes. On this camp, I'm so unprepared, is what she should have said, not scared. I'm so unprepared.
So congested.
I'm so congested.
Mucus acting. Love it.
My allergies are so bad this time of year. John Carpenter was supposed to direct it, turned it down, was busy.
I remember seeing something about that. Yeah.
Consulted here, though.
John Carpenter's like, this just isn't wacky enough for me.
Yeah. I need pro wrestlers looking for gum.
Are you sure we can't work in an alien? I mean, it's a black hole, right? They could drop alien through that.
Okay, no alien? Fine. How about a vampire? Can we get a vampire up in this? No vampires? Fine. A devil?
Forget it.
How about a devil? Everyone likes a devil.
Poor John Carpenter with his wacky movies.
It's pretty wacky. According to the making of the Philadelphia Experiment, the Wendover, Utah airbase, lots of Utah, by the way, in this thing, Salt Lake City, the Wendover, the freak of Salt Flats, all of it. Yeah. All kinds of stuff. Utah airbase used in the film's climactic fire sequence was where the Enola Gay was outfitted for its historic flight in 1945. The Enola Gay. Of the Enola Gays. They're fantastic. The dance group. Back when a topless person could still nab you a PG rating, is this movie?
It's on TV.
Mm-hmm. It's
not even good nudity.
but doesn't it remind you of how? Like I told my wife, says I go look at this, and she's like, oh my gosh, what rating was this? I said it was PG. She goes, how did they do that? Because now no way you do that ever.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, see the boobies aren't really in our movie.
Right.
They're in a TV show.
What was that movie rated?
Sure. But I remember lots of movies, like we talked a bunch about Airplane last week. An Airplane had boobs in it, and Airplane was PG.
Yeah.
There's many film sack movies we've seen from that era that were PG, yet they had plenty of boobage. Like Revenge of the Titans or whatever the hell it was called. Attack of the Titans. What was it?
Right.
Flash of the Titans.
Remember the Titans, right? That's the one.
I remember watching the original Blue Lagoon on television when I was a little kid.
Yeah, and it being uncut, right?
Yeah, that's right. I was a 6-year-old pedophile. That's right.
Right. She was like what, 16 or something when she did.
Please make that your book. 14? When you make a book,
I was a six year old pedophile. I love that.
it's just funny to me that generally society's standards for such things tend to loosen over time. But this movie's cussed enough and had enough TV boob that I would have given it R in 1980, or would have maybe gotten an R today,
the boobs for sure. You don't do that today. I don't know why. I don't know what changed. When did we get so?
I remember that was the classification when I was growing up. It was like, okay, the PG-13. That means there's at least one boob shot and one maybe F bomb.
Yeah,
I mean, that was pretty much your allotment.
But you don't get your boobs without the R.
I remember the first time I saw a PG-13 movie and I didn't get to see boobs. I was like,
you're so disappointed.
I was promised at least one boob shot in a PG-13
movie. What was it then? What was the movie? Do you remember?
I can't remember, but I do remember thinking that, going, was this supposed to be PG-13?
I think I remember my first PG-13 movie. Does anyone else remember there? Brian or Randy, you guys remember your very first, when that made the big switch over in the late, I guess, 80s?
I only remember my first R-rated movie really well, and that was Revenge of the Ninja, which is on our long list.
Yeah.
PG-13, though?
First PG-13 movie. Let's see what that was.
I'm pretty sure the first one I saw was Red Dawn. I got to make sure that's right.
Oh, Red Dawn was awesome. I saw the remake recently as well.
Yeah, it was PG-13, and so I don't know if that was the very first PG-13 movie.
They're saying Indiana Jones: The Temple of Doom. Although some sites will argue that it was Red Dawn, is what I'm reading on the internet. But Red Dawn seems to be what they're saying.
But
I never saw Baby get her boobs out. So.
See, no, I saw all the first ones like Indiana Jones, Temple of Doom, Poltergeist, Clash of the Titans, Gremlins. So
I think Poltergeist is the first one.
Right, nobody takes baby's boobies out of her sweater.
Right.
Is that the phrase? That's how that goes?
Nobody puts boobies in the corner.
Right. I think, okay, so wait, I just looked it up. Motion Picture Association of America rating system. First, okay, here it is on Wikipedia. Very first movie to get the MPAA rating of PG-13. Oh, was Red Dawn. Okay.
According to Wikipedia, says the first film distributed with PG-13 rating was Red Dawn, and then Dreamscape, which we saw in here, and The Woman in Red came out the following week. And that even has more than boobs in it, actually.
So 84 was the year of this change, and they also say until 84, explicit violence and gore in films like Indiana Jones, The Temple of Doom, Poltergeist, Clash of the Titans, it's funny I mentioned that one, Gremlins, and so on, caused an uproar for parents because they all had PG ratings and they felt like they should have had something else. So Spielberg was like, dude, if this is going to be a problem, you guys need to introduce something in the middle. So they introduced it on July 1st, 1984. First movie to get it was Red Dawn. All right.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And that's the first one I'd seen.
And it really needed it because that was a movie that was,
I was 13.
That was aimed. It was aimed towards those, you know, those older teens or, you know, people.
I'm sorry, I was 14. I would have been 14 when I saw my first PG-13 rated movie.
How fortunate are you?
I know, you missed the cutoff, dude.
If you happen to be the right age, that when it comes along, you're like, yes, they did this just for me.
Yeah, like, I get just under the wire there. Anyway, all right. Philadelphia Experiment, though, is the movie.
Sorry.
Let's see.
I feel like I came into this movie having no idea what it was about. I know Scott Johnson said he also had no idea.
I didn't
either.
I kind of feel like we need a sort of basic plot outline because I don't even know that I fully understand what the hell we just watched.
Well, it was a little bit of a okay. So here's the deal: you start out, it's World War II, it's going on. You kind of get to know these characters because they're one of those dance halls, and one of them has a wife and she's pregnant, and the other one doesn't have anybody. But they're about to be called into some experiment they've been working on. It's all top secret. They get on the ship, they fire it up. Bad special effects ensue. The goal of it is to make them so they can't be detected on radar by the Nazis. That's the idea. But it goes horribly awry, and it sends the ship into a time vortex. And the two guys on there get chucked in there too. Like, what did it remind me of? It reminded me of
Final Countdown.
No, you know what? I was having a total Land of the Lost kind of vibe thing going on when they were getting sucked through that.
Oh well, with the special effects,
yeah for sure. Right. A lot of animated lightning and all this kind of bull crap, and they end up in the Salt Flats in the Salt Lake Desert somehow, and then they walk around for a while, and then they find a bunch of modern people, and tropes ensue, and then. the 80s happen, and then you got your RoboCop lady. The end. That's the end of your movie.
you just skipped over all the stuff that was really hard to understand. my favorite thing about how the Philadelphia experiment itself causes this one guy to time travel, or really two guys, but really the one guy is all that really matters, is the fact that he gets sent through time. Could have been 4,000 years. Could have been 40,000 years. No, it's exactly 40. Yeah, exactly 40 years. Yep. And it happens to be the time when we're making the movie. Mm-hmm. So that all makes it real, real easy for us.
That's real convenient.
That is the thing. Like, you think about this, the time travel movies like Terminator, where they come from another time just to come in our time, because if 90% of your movie is going to be where they go in their time travel, let's make it as easy to film as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They do, and it's got all those tropes in it, like, what is this? And the reason the boobies are on the TV thing is it's to make them be shocked, because in the 40s, you've never seen anything like that.
Not only shocked, but a few seconds later, kind of pleased.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was a little bit. But there was no TV where they came from, so that was a shock in its own right. Like, mm-hmm. What are these screens? There are these video games everywhere. People have weird hair. There's, like, punk rocker dude and his girlfriend get out of a car.
Well, his boyfriend.
Oh, yeah. Wait, was that the same guy in the jail cell?
I don't think it was the same guy, was it? No, but okay. It was creepily eerie.
Yeah, that was weird. This was back when, transvestites scared everyone.
Right.
Still scare me in this movie.
Well, yeah, in this movie.
Those earrings were horrible.
Also, that toilet was way too proximate. Do you think that toilet was too proximate for their own good? Like, right. Just too close to everybody. Anyway.
Is that your floater?
It was so just trope after trope about early on there about, oh, our time is not like your time. And it kind of messed me up, put me in a feedback loop, because their time was not like their time is not like my time. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, yes. I'm like that. Okay. Well, sure. I guess it's shocking to see what a payphone. And I'm thinking now how much more shocking would it be not to see a payphone?
Right. And when she said, oh, look in the phone book. You should be able to find them. Everybody has a phone. And I'm like, maybe. Not a home phone. You're not going to find them in the phone book.
Yeah.
I don't know.
All that stuff.
It was hard, that whole initial time travel thing, because some of it they were playing for jokes and it wasn't funny.
Right.
Not now.
Too soon. I don't know how to drive a car. Like,
it's automatic.
He's from the 40s, and this is like practically impossible for him to put his foot down on the farthermost right pedal. Really?
It's a Back to the Future thing, and nobody did it better than they did it, mm-hmm. which I think also came out in 84.
You want a tab, you got to buy something first.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, they did that. Yeah. Hand me the sweet and low. What are you talking to me?
Yeah.
I'm looking at boobies.
Before his hand got on fire again or whatever it did.
Right.
Bad effect fire.
I wonder if he thought that was his punishment for looking at porn.
They said I'd go blind.
I have a tinglin in my hand.
They didn't seem so much offended as they did, like, just amazed by this fantastic new world where boobies.
Well, the very first people they meet are, like, friendly punks.
Yeah.
Right. But,
like,
how you doing, mister?
How you doing, sir?
I was really expecting something very different to come out of that scene.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
I did too, but I knew that whole time as Buddy was not going to be long for the time there. I knew that something was going to go bad.
Well, I love when Pops chased him out of the cafe there, or the diner.
With a gun?
That was awesome.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty
cool. He was so angry.
And there's one of my favorite tropes, the whole, give me that gun trope, man.
Give me that gun.
Yeah.
Someone who has no business pulling a gun just is disarmed like a small child.
Smacked him on the hand. Smack. Give me that.
Yeah. He took it pretty good. I actually saw a real life video, something on YouTube here recently, where a guy on a security cam was getting robbed by gunpoint with a guy with a shotgun. And for some reason, the guy with the gun got right up in his face, like got that gun barrel right up next to his head. And the guy's got his hands up like this. You can't see me, but anyways, hands up. Traditional way of having your hands up. That gun was probably 3 inches from his face. And the guy just kind of standing there, and a little bit of time passes, probably a lifetime to him. And then he just takes that right hand, grabs that gun, aims it someplace else, rips it out of the hand, and chases the guy out of the store. And it's pretty badass. Wow. But it's the only time. I mean, don't do that.
Never do that. That is not going to work 99% of the time.
Take the money.
Yeah, let him have it. It's just money. But now that guy's a hero, and everyone's going to try it.
Yeah, I like to bring up Boss Rutan, because he wrote the Big Book of Fighting, and he has the most comprehensive, as far as I'm concerned, the most comprehensive self defense technique that's ever been committed to film.
When he gets to
the point where he's talking about if someone puts a gun in your face, like he stops and it's just like, okay, so I'm going to teach you what you could do, but don't.
Like, never. You know, ever.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love that.
Have you guys ever been in a confrontation with a gun person ever? Has that ever happened to any of us?
Nope.
Okay.
I have not, but I was witness to a friend who got a gun pulled on him, and I didn't know anything was going on. He just went over to a guy's car because the guy had asked him to come over. And he was totally calm. And he came back and he said, "Yeah, that guy pulled a gun on me." I was like, "What did you say?"
Whoa! And you didn't know the whole time?
What? No, I was just sitting there. It looked normal to me, like it was just having a chat.
Has that guy gotten? Has your friend kind of gotten over that? Is it a bit? Is it a thing that bugged him for a long time?
I don't know if it bothered him or not, but he ended up being like he went on to like be a bodyguard and stuff. So I don't know if that was just his calm, cool collective, or if it was like, okay, I ain't scared of nothing now.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if something like that happens, you'd change the way you think about things either way.
I was in a 7-Eleven in Round Rock, Texas, standing at the counter when a guy bust in and stole money that in the open register, and told the guy, give me the money in the register, and ran out. He pretended he had a gun. I don't know if he had a gun. I didn't see a gun. He acted like he was going to pull a gun. And you don't, you know, and it happened so fast.
Right. Was like, he playing pocket pool, or was he, you know, what was he doing?
Yeah. That whole thing where you
shuffle your pocket around a little bit. And you,
mm-hmm. He really did stick your finger in it.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome.
But it all happened so fast. Like, this is somebody who knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
But I didn't even, like, I had a newspaper and a Big Gulp, and I'm like, happened just there? Like,
sort of slurping.
It was, well, because, you know, I'm facing the dude who, the cashier. Right. I'm not looking at the guy who's come up behind me and is, right. Anyway.
And Randy goes,
one of my favorite tangents we've ever taken, because that is awesome. I had no idea. I don't think I've ever been in kind of harm's way with a gun, as far as I know. I don't know. Seems like, if you believe the news, we've all had guns pointed at us at some point. Mm-hmm. But
right.
Not so much. All right.
People in Europe who listen to the show are saying, "What? I thought all Americans were involved in gun violence."
Yeah, of course.
Right. Especially so in Texas. Yeah. In Texas, you get right, a gun. Yes. You get a free gun with 8 gallons at 7-Eleven in Texas.
So that trope's an easy one. People that are, you know, come from a quainter time are so shocked by our modern ways. Another trope for me. One I hate, people on the phone who repeat everything they are told on the line so that we get what's going on. They say, "No, I didn't go there. No, I haven't been to the store today." And they just repeat the thing that the other person says with a no in front of it. I hate that so
The only
much.
Person who should it? Ever do that is Bob Newhart.
Yeah, he's good at it. It's true. It's a whole bit for him, isn't it?
It is. It's a whole bit for him, yeah.
I love Bob Newhart. He has like those, like the 60s era show he did was really good.
Right, right.
Tangent.
The other...
The Bob Newhart show?
Yeah. Is that the one? Is that what it's called? Or is it just, I think
Suzanne
it's just
Plachette.
No. It's the one just called Bob, called Newhart.
Called Bob.
Well, that was 80s.
Was it?
80s was the big one he had everybody loved. And then
that was the one where you had the bed and breakfast in Vermont or something.
Is my brother Doug and the other brother Doug.
Daryl.
Daryl.
Doug. But the one I'm thinking of is the one before that, which is him and his wife living in an apartment in Chicago.
Right. He was a psychiatrist, and he had a group that was called the Bob Newhart Show.
The style, the wood paneling and the clothes in that show are horrendous, but it is a very funny show. It's all on Hulu. People should watch it.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. All right. Did I already do I did that trope. RoboCop lady. I haven't seen her since RoboCop.
Mm-hmm.
She was in Carrie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Buck naked.
That's right. She was in the All Together.
That's back when you could make a movie about high schoolers. And,
I think that was G-rated, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, right.
It was Buck-rated.
Yeah, it's just the human body.
B-rated. Do you suppose that new one will be just as gratuitous? Because that was pretty... That movie was pretty...
I think when you reboot something like that, you have to go in the opposite direction. You have to make it very Puritan.
Yeah, because wasn't there was nudity in the original Nightmare on Elm Street, but they didn't, you know, they went the other direction with the horror for...
I think 2 had some too, though, if I remember right. Or if not, there was some alluded to thing.
Nightmare on Elm Street 2 or Carrie 2?
No, Nightmare on Elm Street 2.
Oh, yeah.
There was alluded to. I love that.
There's some naked under there.
I know it. She's in the shower behind that door. Maybe she's naked. Maybe she's not.
Saw a silhouette through some
if all these
glass.
People didn't have clothes on, they'd be naked. That's the kind of illusion.
Okay.
I wrote Stephen Tobolowsky Woot here.
Yeah.
Yes.
Should I get that excited about him, or is that just okay?
Yeah, he's awesome.
You're right. Get excited about that.
And the dude has a resume. I mean, how many movies has this guy been in?
Oh, I
218 titles on IMDb for just actor.
Right. Wow. And he's very tall. And we got a Memento connection. Remember that guy?
Memento connection. What? Which
right. He was in Memento. Yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't know that. What did he? Wait. What did he do in
Mementos?
I kept forgetting, and I have to write notes to myself when I see that movie.
Wasn't he a time traveler?
Brian got my joke. He got my joke. All right.
What? No, he wasn't a time traveler. Have you seen Memento?
Brian's memory of Memento is a little sketchy.
Now, Now, wait a minute. There may be a time travel explanation for Memento that really works.
Okay, what?
Let's just think about it for a minute. Okay, accuracy. So Guy Pearce is actually a Time Lord. He just doesn't know it.
Right.
All right. He also has a flaming dragon tattoo on his back. No spoilers there. One quick note about time travel. I watched this and I couldn't help but think, all of us have had problems with time travel paradoxes and things in the past. We've talked about them in different movies and stuff. But if any of you are the most vocal, it's got to be Brian Ibbett about time travel yes. problems. And so I kept thinking of you. I would get to this point and go, wait, you're going to go talk to dude or the guy's in the control room saying, well, we know you go and do it because you've already done it. And I'm like, right. I'm thinking to myself, well, then why are you guys all worried about? What's the problem then? If you're going to go and do it.
You know, everything gets solved then at the end.
Yeah.
Like, you just sit back. Yeah.
Is it just because it's anxious in the time or whatever? So I wanted to throw it to you, Brian, and just say, how are you feeling about this movie's handling of time travel?
It's, you know, I mean, it's the same thing where as soon as you go back in time and do anything, you create another timeline to where the stuff that happens in your future doesn't exist. Or it exists in a different timeline that still is maintained the same way.
Okay.
So.
Right. So this movie only really is about travel forward, which isn't as problematic as travel back. And isn't as problematic as travel back and forward and back. Like if you just put somebody out of time, it's problematic. But when you go and start changing things and there's some people who could just move around in time at will and you start to wonder, well, why aren't they having their way? Like, I hate that shit.
I mean, what's good about it is that, all right, so Michael Pray does go back in time. He says, hey to his buddy Jim. Hey, Jim, all right, yeah, carry on. Right. And then zaps back into the future, explaining why he's not there.
Right. Yeah, right. That's where I was getting at, up till that point, you kind of could get away with it. Right, because, exactly. Again, he's jumped forward and nobody's the wiser and he's just been missing.
I guess the coils on his suit helped him get back.
Right.
Yeah.
That made no sense. But and she knew right where he'd be walking around in the fog.
Yeah. Time hole only goes one direction, right?
That's what I've always told my kids.
Time hole.
But here's my problem with that was that very moment where he came back and I'm thinking to myself, wait, this is the old guy who's petrified now of anything to do with this project, won't even talk to his old friend.
Right.
Is just, you know, freaked out. You're just putting him into a loop.
I hated that scene, by the way.
I did too. I didn't like it.
He's like, stop that horse.
Yeah.
Stop and talk to me.
Yeah.
And then old man just keeps riding.
Like, how do you expect to be like, oh, yeah.
If I don't look at him, he's not here. Just keep moving. Yeah, that was, I didn't like that either. Like anytime they dealt with that relationship, which should have been maybe core to the whole thing, you know, a good buddy
thing. And it was to him, it was his entire motivation, basically.
Did it turn into RoboCop lady?
Yeah, it did.
I was going to say the worst relationship in this movie was definitely Stockholm woman.
Yeah.
Like,
hey guys, Scott here. Real quick, popping in, you know, like I do, to tell you about Audible.com. Audible.com sponsoring the program this week. And if you would like to get a free audiobook, guess what? You can. Books like, I don't know, like the entire Harry Potter series. I know, you've heard them before. You've read them before. You kind of know what's going on in those books. You've probably seen all the movies. But have you heard the way they're read? They're amazing as audiobooks. And there are countless fantasy and sci-fi and other cool books that people like you and me would be interested in. Lots of books for film lovers as well. Here's the best part. You can get one for free. Simply go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack and get a free audiobook download today. That's audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. And we thank them for their support of the show.
Oh,
that
is
Stockholm woman. Good way to put that, because that was my next freaking trope, which is, you know, innocent lady gets roped into a thing and now wants to help everybody.
Right. What do you mean? What do you mean you're not going to press charges? When they said that, I busted out laughing out loud.
Yeah.
What do you mean you're not going to press charges?
Yeah,
they kidnapped you at gunpoint, stole your car, drove you across the country.
You're
in love.
No. But he's kind of hot.
At the very beginning, though. You know, when they first get in her car and they're like, all right, you drive. And she's like, oh, all my stuff is in there. I mean, it's like probably the mellowest hostile carjacking.
Right.
And then they start driving around, the little lightning bolts start taking over the car, and she's like, what's the matter with you two people?
Right. Like,
my car is on fire and lightning is shooting out of it.
Yeah, really odd reactions from her overall. Like, for I kind of, if it was a more clever film, they would have had her as a plant from the future or something, or she would have known all this was going to go on and she was there to help it happen but couldn't reveal who she was.
Maybe that's in the remake.
Yeah, maybe. But there is a newer, like, well, I want to say 2010. 2002.
Yeah, 2012, actually.
12,
yeah.
Was it? Okay. How was that? I don't know how that was received.
I never saw it.
It really couldn't be worse. This is a film that well, it brings no entertainment value whatsoever. There's nothing entertaining in this movie.
Yeah, it's quiet.
I don't know.
Okay, what? Then what?
The time hole was pretty cool when they were going through it and they were showing the ship and the city.
And the town. There's still, the look, it's a
manhole cover town.
It's a disc town where they're all apparently still living on that thing in limbo.
It took me 3/4 of the movie to realize that disc thing was supposed to be the town.
I know, like, I did too.
When they finally showed it a second time on the monitors after they sent the probe, there's a town. What?
I expected my daughter to go, Dad, why is the Millennium Falcon in there with them?
Yeah.
That was bad. But, you know, you're totally right. Now, as a leading man, Michael Perret, or however you want to say it, because there's an accent on that E, is pretty good. I thought he was all right. I kind of liked his
good Brooklyn.
Yeah, got a good accent. He's a handsome guy, all that stuff.
Like, he was going to be all the hotness in the 80s because he did that Streets of Fire thing. Yeah. And that was supposed to be his big launching.
And then it went nowhere.
Yeah.
He did nothing since then. And here's what he did do, and we've seen him recently. We just didn't know it. He was in that Blood Rain movie.
Not really.
And almost all of the Uwe Boll stuff, he's in all those things. Far Cry, Alone in the Dark 2.
I got wrapped up in that.
A bunch of these. He did have a brief moment. He was a detective in The Lincoln Lawyer, which is the most honest to gosh movie in the theater he's been in since. But everything else, Wings of the Dragon, Assault on Wall Street, How Sweet It Is, Road to Hell, Snapshot, Cool Dog.
There's a tone in your voice that's just hysterical. like you're naming all the participants at a cat show.
I know, I could do it with Brad Pitt. I could say Moneyball, Freaking Seven. I could do it with anybody.
Interview with the Vampire.
Yeah, what a bunch of crap. But he's still working it, man. Still in 2013, he's got 4 projects either completed or in post production. He's got all kinds of stuff. So Maximum Conviction.
Maximum Conviction.
Chris Blake. Nice. Anyway, it's too bad he didn't do, I don't know. I don't know what I expected, but he just seemed like a good looking dude. But then, you know what? My wife pointed this out. He kisses like an idiot.
Yeah. Oh my. Well, I thought about this same thing too, but I think what happened was like, okay, we want a really passionate kiss, but the camera's over here and you got to get your faces in it so we know you're kissing. We don't want to see the back of your head. So he does this weird cockeyed. Yeah. Weird, put his head on her shoulder and snake his neck around. It's weird.
Yeah, it's really weird and uncomfortable and kind of like he's just doing a vacuum job on her face. And
right.
Just real bad. And then later when he says goodbye to her in the plant or in the station or whatever, before he's about to go on his time trip, which really was abrupt, by the way. They get him out in the yard above the hole and they go, all right, see you. Up he goes.
I was right before that, was glad.
His goodbye, his like teary-eyed, mm-hmm. It looked like he was having a seizure. I'm just going to say. Say it right now. Didn't look good.
I don't cry often. It hurts.
Yeah, I can't act it very well, so they don't let me do it. So I just do it.
Mess
one
up
time.
The coils.
Yeah, remember that time we rode halfway across the country with a couple of horses in the back? That was a good time. So.
Man, that was also the kissing scene with those in the horse trailer, and I'm like, you could not be romantic with somebody in the back of a horse trailer with 2 horses, man. That would stink.
Oh, it'd be the worst.
Mm-hmm. Stink.
Yeah, but it was a little comedy effect. It was like they weren't implying much, but they were making out and the horses were looking at them going, check that out, Wilbur. Could have gone for a little babe action there, a little talking horses. Would have been all right.
All right.
Anyway, what else is there to say? I don't even know.
I think that, you know, overall, it unlike Randy, it was kind of slow. The whole movie was kind of slow.
Unlike Randy, it's kind of slow.
No, it's kind of like Randy.
You are fast, buddy.
What Randy had said, he said that it was kind of nothing really here for you, and I kind of felt the same way. It was kind of
a little empty and boring.
It was a little empty. It was, and a little predictable. Mm-hmm.
The,
but
the word you're looking for is pointless, and they could have like given anything in this film a point. They could have killed someone unexpectedly. They could have had real love develop between a couple of characters. Anything.
They could have had 5 minutes less of that that transvestite in the prison close-up scenes that I did not want to see anymore.
Yeah.
Although that scene, another one where I'm like, uh-oh, this is going to go all wonky. But no, they played it really cool. Just like, he's like, oh, hey, how are you? Mm. They're in the cross-dressing.
Now, I will tell you the thing that made me laugh the most out loud was when he was being chased by the military in the hospital and that one dude sneaks in the elevator, and they try to act all casual and stuff.
I'm like, why are you acting casual?
Yeah, you don't want to embarrass yourself with all these strangers in there. That lady's got a dog or a baby or whatever.
Right. Shouldn't he be like tackling the guy and putting him to the ground? I mean, why are they acting like nothing's going on? How's it going?
Yeah,
we just ran here full speed. Just ran here full speed, and you know, we're cool.
That was a special brand of stupid for sure.
Mm-hmm. Right. And can we talk about the product placement of Coke for just a second?
God, it was all over the place.
And lower brow.
It was like a Coke.
Yeah.
Right. It was a little bit
refreshing.
It was a little bit like it was a tie-in to past times and modern times for a little while. I was like, okay, I'm cool with that. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden when they have the whole scene where they're riding to L.A. in the car and she pops open a Coke. I mean, all dialogue stops.
Yeah, and Ned Meyerson or Wyers Meyer, whatever.
Right.
Was drinking one all during the big stressful moments of the thing. He's just slurping down a Coke and it's the reddest can I've ever seen.
Right.
Yeah, for sure. And the Lowenbrow beer got a little love there. A little bit of, maybe this is an early example of some pretty sweet product placement. I don't know.
How weird. We didn't have German beer in the 40s,
right?
Jeez. Oh, I forgot. Yeah, he goes, oh, it's German. I didn't get the connection to World War II and German.
Still one.
Yeah, how can there be German things there? That car's they should have spent more talking about how Japanese cars are everywhere in 1984. That's what
there wasn't there wasn't enough fish out of water stuff for me.
Yeah.
That would have been an interesting film if they were just bewildered the whole time.
So who's good at that? Back to the Future is pretty good at that. Okay. Who else is good at that fish out of water business? I can't think of anything. Any other movies jump to mind?
Not this movie.
No, this is not very good at it. Right. But Marty McFly, I buy him, you know, trying to put something on his tab, or even though that's kind of an antiquated idea now, but you know, all those things were fine with me. Mm-hmm. Playing too much rock and roll at the dance, and you don't like it, but your kids are going to love it or whatever. That's
Malcolm McDowell in Time After Time wasn't too bad about it.
I don't remember that.
Chasing Jack the Ripper.
I don't remember that at
all. Oh, yeah.
He's H.G. Wells, and he's chasing Jack the Ripper into the future.
God, I haven't seen that in, forever. Mm-hmm.
That sounds all right.
Mm-hmm. It's not bad.
I would see that.
That's actually probably a really good film sack. I remember it being interesting.
Yeah,
I remember it being interesting back in the day, but I'm sure it did not hold up.
Yeah.
Let's see if it's streaming. Out of curiosity.
I had a few more notes. I had stuff like the wind machines. Man, they were like working overtime in this movie.
Big time.
Because of everything that was going on.
Big time. That horse guy was pissed. I thought he was going to be more involved because he had these long shots of him behind the wheel.
Right.
And I thought, oh, they're going to establish him as a new third tier character. He's going to help them get to safety. And nope, he was just getting his shit stolen.
And then I thought about Randy when they kicked the windshield out of the car. I was thinking,
why did you think of Randy?
Because I was thinking Randy's going to have a big problem with this. There's no way. He's like, you can't go 50 with no windshield.
The windshield
it's just a stupid trope.
Well, my wife was watching that part when they kicked it out, and she then left and did something else. You know, Zeus bless her, because why would you want to sit there? So she leaves for a while, and then she comes back, and they're in somebody else's truck now, the horse guy's truck. And she pulls up, and she sees it, and she goes, I thought they kicked the windshield out. This movie sucks. I found myself actually for a second defending the movie because it was just, you know,
hey,
she didn't
honey,
realize.
But they're in a horse trailer now. It's all right.
Oh, I almost forgot. I don't know if I may. I probably talk about this later. Do I? Let me see. Nope, I don't. So the spontaneously exploding cars. We like those on the show. Those happen.
Oh, right.
Usually have to roll down a hill for that to happen. One flip was enough for this movie.
Yeah.
Yes, it's exactly. Like
flip, smack, boom!
Tumble and boom.
And was there nobody in it?
No, they were dead. Remember, because she said later on, it's like, I don't know I'm into this because you're killing people.
Well, because he went over there to get, what was he getting out of it? He went over there to get something out of there.
He was trying to figure out what they knew.
Oh. Okay, so what he was looking for, it was like he lost his iPhone or something. He was over there just like, where the hell did that thing go? And was that would have been too hot, by the way, for him to be as close as he was. That would have hurt.
All the paper would have burst into flames. I mean, it would have been bad. Right.
I want that folder. That folder right there. I'm just going to reach and grab it.
I know. They must have had it on the dashboard and it flew out or something. I don't know what that was all about. But the other thing the thing that was cool about this movie, okay, so when he did get back to the ship, there was two cool shots that happened right in that time. One was him taking that, you know, that axe to all those old fuses.
That look cool in slow-mo.
Oh, yeah.
The old whatever they are. What am I thinking of? They're not fuses.
Vacuum tubes.
Yeah, vacuum tubes. Tubes. And so when he took it into the tubes, man, that was pretty freaking sweet.
That looked cool, yeah.
It did. And then there was also the dude that was stuck halfway on the ship. That was a pretty effective scene for 84.
Oh, where the hand was like twitching and moving. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah, I like that.
I thought things really took a turn then. I was like, oh, my gosh.
It's dark, yeah.
Yeah, I thought, oh, this is supposed to be all happy. Everything's figured out and these people are safe. But no, there's a dude embedded in a ship.
Loved it.
That was kind of gnarly. I didn't like how the old guy who's now the in charge of the – well, he was in charge of the project then, and now he's an ancient dude in charge of the same project. And I didn't like how he had no accent in the first half of the movie and then a British accent all through the last part. That's probably because nobody messes with Eric Christmas and lives.
Right?
Nobody messes with Eric Christmas.
Hey, can we also give ourselves some 40s kind of names, like military 40s kind of Brooklyn kind of guys? Because, I mean, this guy was named – his name was Dave, but they called him Davey.
Yeah.
And then Jim, he was Jimmy.
Hey, Davey and Jimmy.
So Scott's easy. He's Scotty.
Yeah.
And Brian, I couldn't think of anything.
The game seems to be to come up with a name that is – by itself makes you impossible to get laid.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, that's how that works.
I'm gonna mess you up real bad. I'm fisting to call you something stupid.
I can't think of any. What's a good shortening for Randy?
Like they already named you Arthur. Arthur's bad enough, but everybody's calling you Art.
Yeah,
right.
Or Artie.
I came out with Randy Lou.
But Randy is a shortening of Randall, right?
Yes, right. Correct. Yeah.
So you already have the name naturally. You've already got it. Brian, it'd be like Bri or Bri or
maybe Bri. That'd be good.
Bri.
Ugh, yeah. I don't like any of that. Or Ibby. Oh, old Ibby down there in the.
That would be perfect. I love Ibby.
Ibby's down there in the engine room. Oh, we loved Ibby. He used to this and that. Oh, how'd he die? Oh, Ibby took a grenade to his crotch.
He was into the hull of the ship.
Ibby's still stuck to the ship. USS Ibby. Beat him every once in a while.
Everybody pour one out for old Ibby. I love it. That's awesome. All right. Well, let's do clips. Want to do clips?
Yeah.
All right. Here's some clips from this movie. Fresh right off the thing that's fresh. Here we go. Power to the main field.
Generators activated, sir.
Power to the main field.
Okay. I guess he kind of had an accent, sort of.
Right.
But I think that guy was faking it because Eric Christmas had a real one. I like that guy. I think he's been knighted or something. He's a big deal.
He's been knighted.
I think so.
All knighty now. Sure.
I think he's one of those guys that gets
Sir
knighted.
Sir Christmas.
Sir Christmas, right. Christmas is such a terrible name to have, isn't it? I would hate that name. All right,
better than Easter,
I guess so. Maybe Halloween.
Arbor Day.
Halloween. Halloween.
Robert Larry Downey. Arbor Day.
Robert Downey Halloween. Did I hear you start to say that? All right, something about invisible radars.
I didn't think it was possible. She's radar invisible.
Congratulations, doctor.
This just so she's radar invisible. Yeah, that's pretty good, guys. Hey, everybody. But then things got exciting. There was some angry acting.
Tell the Eldridge to kill the generators. Tell them!
Oh, jeez!
Oh, my God.
That was great.
Whoa, did you, slow down.
Did you keep that one? Because that's good for the sound.
That was pretty good.
It was so good.
Yeah. I like that one.
Oh, my gosh, it was good. It
kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
He's kind of a, you know what? He's one of these. This guy who, it's this idea of somebody who builds the greatest weapon ever and then immediately wishes he'd never done it. Like the Manhattan Project people.
Exactly.
It's that's a common thing in movies like this. I guess I'd prefer that than if he was like, that guy's embedded in the side of a boat.
That's fantastic. Hilarious.
That is hilarious. He would be so much fun at parties.
Remember that time we stuck you in the boat?
Oh, that was great. Never got that arm back, did you? Too bad, Billy. All right, anger. See, bad acting time. There was some angry acting. Now it's bad.
You see the ship, the town?
Yeah, I was spinning around. What's going on here?
No,
I don't understand. Gosh. I don't get it, man.
Gosh, Mr. Simpson, I don't think you're supposed to do that.
what is that from? Is that like are we playing on Star Wars Episode 4?
I don't know. It felt like it.
They were on a sound stage, so I don't know if the acting was harder or what.
Well, they were also green screening that all up, you know, like they were.
Dude.
This is early, like, we can't see what's happening around us, so we need to act like we do see it. And I think we've gotten better at that over the years.
Yeah, and speaking of Star Wars, like George Lucas ruined them with redone effects, this movie would be so much better if somebody would just go spend $10,000 and make some better effects.
Yeah, redo this with terrible effects,
please.
Who wants to
spend that kind of money?
Dude, listen, I could do it with an Adobe Cloud membership and a copy of freaking Premiere and After Effects. This is so bad.
After Effects from 10 years ago that you got off uTorrent.
So bad. All right, Bad Scream. Here's Bad Scream. I just like that one.
Wow.
Yeah, that's it. For that guy who's making that compilation for us. He's going back and finding all our screens.
Bam, bam, bam. He's banging on the... Is he stuck in the hole?
No.
Let's see. Walking the Salt Flats.
You tell me this is my imagination, and we're not freezing our asses off out here, and they didn't try to kill us last night.
They wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't do that. I'm a dumb friend.
Wouldn't do it.
You know I'm leaving before you do. He did a pretty good seizure acting, though. That was rough, man.
Yeah.
Didn't look to see what he's up to. I don't know what he's doing now.
Nothing. He didn't have an IMDb photo, I don't think.
Really? Nothing? Let's take a look. What was his name in it?
Jimmy.
Jim Parker. So he's Bobby DeSico.
Jimmy.
He was in Splash.
Oh, really?
Ghoulies 4.
Oh, Ghoulies 4, of course. It was in Night Shift.
Night Shift, the big red one, Maniac Cop 3, bunch of real bad DVD stuff.
All Dolls Go to Heaven 2.
He stopped in 96. That's it. He was out.
That's because he's dead.
Happened. Is he dead? No.
I'm just kidding.
Let's see if it's... Sometimes people talk about him at the end.
It'd be a good reason to stop.
Somebody, their message board, the top message is, "All I want is food for life." The hell. All right, forget it.
I'm quitting.
Spam.
The IMDb message boards are the worst.
Yeah. I agree with you. I feel like it's a window into madness.
It's like and because they're all disconnected from one another, it's it's 10,000 different little forums.
Yeah,
right? It's so weird to me. Like, I wish they could just find a way to bring them together a little bit. Make it more of a community.
It's like, that's what's missing. What it feels like is a million people in a building, but the space you occupy is enclosed to only yourself. It's like you're in a place where you know there are a bunch of people, but you're talking as if into a vacuum. It's an odd place. Right. Nothing's ever has any cohesion. An answered question or a question is never answered.
Like, do you have to bookmark your 100 favorite movies and remember to go back to those specifically just to read the
It feels like a missed opportunity, doesn't it? Something there. I don't know. There's something broken there. It's like YouTube comments. There's something busted, and I don't know how you fix it, and I don't know who knows why it does.
This is going to be one of the questions that causes someone to go on iTunes and give us one star and go, they don't know anything about movies. But what's the big discussion community for movie fans online?
I don't know.
Because it ain't IMDb.
The Film Sack forums at myextralife.com.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if there is one. I mean, if there is one, I don't know about it. Maybe Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah,
maybe
Rotten Tomatoes is what I would say.
There's a little bit of back and forth on there. There's definitely some stuff, but on the whole, I'm saddened at the state of quote unquote social interaction on the internet. It is mostly just bah! And then they want, and then that's it. Tribalism. I like my thing better. And then walk away.
Yeah.
I don't understand it. And there's not always like this. It's one of the things the Frog Pants community excels at is actual communication, meetups, real ideas being shared, even heated discussions on the debate forums. Like, these things happen, and there's some real yo-yo sometimes, but I feel like it's at least happening. Everywhere else just feels like, blah!
It's just the size. It's anonymity plus...
A movie came out. Blah, 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 blah. And then run away. All right. Yeah. Anyway, one star review from people who do that. All right.
What are we doing here? Let's see.
Talking.
What's the IMDb? That's fine.
That's fine with me. Talking jive in the 1980s. Here you go.
What is it?
We don't know, sir. But it wasn't here when we started. That's for damn sure.
That's for damn sure.
I did like that scene. That was funny. Okay, so it wasn't here. No. Damn sure.
Damn sure. I like it. Add a little spice to it. Isn't that the guy that's the dude from Matlock, right? I think it is.
No. No.
Brian, don't all the black people look the same to you?
No. Even though I thought this guy was Boomer from Battlestar Galactica at first. No.
All right.
Boomer. Oh,
Boomer. I like Boomer.
Why couldn't Battlestar Galactica go on forever?
Why couldn't it? I mean, even the old one, really. Mm-hmm. How about any of it? Just some of it would be fine. You know what? I heard a really interesting rumor the other day. Ronald D. Moore is not really doing much right now. Why not have him head whatever new Trek series they might be cooking up? Like, let him get back to his roots.
Because J.J. Abrams is moving to executive producer, right?
Yeah, he's out. He doesn't want to do this anymore. He's all Star Wars all the time.
And surely everyone in that cast is re-upping, right?
Well, So here's the deal. I think it was Schleicher who said this, but there are genuine rumors going around that they do not plan to do a third movie for a long time. And that in between that, they want to establish a new TV series that won't be related to this, won't have any of these actors in it. It'll just be a fresh Trek series.
Oh, I think you hit it while it's hot, man. Why are you gonna wait?
I want a series so bad. I'm willing to go with this rumor. I'm not saying you're probably right, Brian. I think they just keep making money on the movies, but I would really love a new series. I think.
Okay, let's do it. So the new Trek movie.
Yeah.
My favorite Star Trek movie.
Yeah.
Of all time.
This one is.
And I feel like it's so much better than the previous one, the 2009 Star Trek. So much better.
I liked it a lot better too.
I could almost accept if somebody said, "That's it, we're going out on top." That's it.
Right.
I liked it a lot, but I don't know if it's my favorite. The
storyline is always good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks, Brian. Good job, Brian.
I'm gonna have to go back and edit the damn episode. You know what? If true Trek nerds haven't seen that movie yet,
oh my god, or haven't heard the rumors, please. It was like
tough beans.
Well, and furthermore, you just spoiled what for me was like the number three twist in the film.
Yeah,
were like better. There were better.
There was no twist. I've known about this since I don't know forever.
There were two better twists to me in the film.
Yeah, I didn't know it was coming.
And I was able to predict them both right before they happened, but in both cases, it made the twist you just spoiled seem like, oh, that's no big deal.
I don't want to add to the spoilery, but the use of the iconic yell,
right?
I don't think I was supposed to laugh as hard as I laughed.
Also, Bruce Willis is dead.
Yeah.
Bruce Willis ruined your whole life.
Bruce Willis is dead. You have ruined my. Oh, you mean in the movie The Sixth Sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I'm making my kid. I'm not making my kids. This week, my kids are going to because school's ending. We're celebrating by watching Unbreakable, so they know what a good M. Night Shyamalan movie is. And what
that's
it looks
funny because we're actually going to watch The Sixth Sense this week.
Such a good movie.
I'm going to watch Lady in the Water.
You know what? Just no. Go straight up through Signs and then be done. That's it. After that,
I'm not even going to do Signs.
I always say stop with The Village. I think you should. I think you should watch it as a foursome. It's a foursome, and you should go all the way through.
Randy likes a good foursome, and here's the other thing I would say. I would say that I'm kind of excited about After Earth, but I think it is earth-shatteringly weird how far they go to avoid mentioning that he is directing. After Earth. They did not even know that he was. Mission accomplished. If you look it up on IMDb, you'll find out, but they don't put it in the credits, the commercials. It's kind of like what they're doing to Orson Scott Card with the Ender's Game thing. They just don't mention his name.
I don't know if I've already said this on FilmSack, but I am convinced that Ender's Game would make an extra $5 million opening weekend if they would just put at the end of every trailer, "We paid Orson Samuel Scott Card Jackson. In full for the rights to this film. Your ticket money will not go to Orson Scott Card." Like, that would be so compelling.
Yeah, but then you got a whole bunch of groups going, "I think you got some pretty good ideas about them gays. I ain't going to see your stupid movie. That little Han Solo, what the hell's this?"
That hayseed isn't going to the movie in the first place, either way.
"I don't even have a car right now, damn it. I can't drive to the movie theater."
We just got to let that linger because I was thinking I was going to get the hate for this, and now I realize I'm not even in the line of fire anymore.
No, he's a bigoted old fart, and he's wrong and all that. But I don't know if we should hold his stupid personal views, which are stupid, against a great work of science fiction. I don't know what the problem is with that. It's
separate the story from the jerk who wrote it.
Yeah, like the people. As pissed as I was about, I guess I don't know if I was all that pissed, but all that Chick-fil-A stuff, I still went to Chick-fil-A. Why? Because they're local franchises owned by regular people who don't give two craps about what their owner says, and their chicken's fine, and their local jobs at stake. And I didn't think that was not the way to deal with that.
You're trying to walk back the voice you just did.
No, the voice is fun because I like that guy.
He's moving right on forward into the hate mail.
Yeah, now I have people who really genuinely were in agreement with that guy,
I didn't mean to get here. I think that we are stuck now. You know, the internet's been around long enough that everybody knows everything about everyone. Just this week, PZ Myers went after the MythBusters guys mm-hmm. for the fact that they employ some guy who may or may not have been involved in some terrorist act in the logging industry.
Why did I miss this? This sounds like fun. Name.
Like, so, but seriously, like,
I assume all those guys were terrorists.
The problem is we've gotten to a point where we know too much, and you can't boycott everything, you know. And I loved the new Star Trek film, and I guarantee you, if I looked into it deeply enough, I could find something that, you know, I wouldn't want my money going to, and I'd be all upset. And
I remember being really sad when I found out after I'd seen it, because I didn't know before, but I saw Powder. Remember Powder?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And I found out afterwards that the director was a convicted pedophile.
Right.
And I didn't know this. Yeah,
is that the same guy?
The Jeepers Creepers guy. I don't think it's the same guy, but yeah, but it's a similar deal. Yep. But I had a real connection. I don't know why. I had this real connection to Powder. Powder made me cry. It made me feel all kinds of great emotions and stuff. I was really into it. And then somebody said, oh, that guy's a convicted pedophile. I won't spend $2 on anything ever again that he has anything to do with. I'm like, oh, tainted love, man. Tainted love. Mm-hmm. So all I'm saying about the Orson Scott Card thing is nothing other than I'm excited to see the movie. I also think he's a freaking bigot, and I think that gay people are awesome and they should do what they want to do. But I also kind of think that guy's funny that talks like the hayseed. So yeah. I'm welcome to all comers. Is what I'm getting at.
And do you have anything further to add on the new Star Trek?
Just that I really liked it, and I know Brian and I've been really clear on the morning stream that we thought it was really good, and all this nerd rage is, I think, misplaced. I also think the movie shouldn't be held under that kind of scrutiny. But honestly, neither should the shows. Go back and watch the one where Riker becomes a caveman. Go do that. Tell me how that fits in your love of whatever, and tell me how Saving Whales does, and let me know how that worked out for you, and how Spock shouldn't have come back from the dead, and they went and found him anyway, and he grew up real fast on the planet. And they killed that guy from Greatest American Hero in it and stuff and all that.
We're going to be watching Star Trek 3 at Nerdtacular this year.
So excited.
And I'm just saying, has there ever been a film where the name, the title of the film let you know that somebody was going to be resurrected?
Right. It was, wasn't it?
See, but I also know that, you know,
Spock's Not Dead is what it was called, wasn't it?
Spock in 5, which we watched here for Film Sack, Star Trek 5, the Final Frontier, the Kirk directed one. We all, I will say that I know that Spock nerve pinching a horse is both the greatest and worst moment in Star Trek history. And I think we should all just be fine with it. It's their movies, and this stuff is fun as hell and so high octane. And
it wasn't Uhura's sexy feather dance.
No, that's not what did it for me. It was the weird flesh colored suit she was wearing underneath it that really got me. And speaking of Uhura, the new one, she's hot. Anyway, bottom line is Star Trek's great. Go watch it. Enjoy it for what it is. Quit acting like this is real life and get out of here.
and Zoe Saldana, if you're listening, Scott would like a call.
I would. In all your blue makeup, please.
Ooh, hubba hubba.
Hubba hubba. She'd be a good X-Man. She should be the new Storm. Don't bring Halle Berry back. What are you doing? Oh, my gosh.
Halle Berry hate. Okay.
Monster
I feel
ball.
Like you just said Howley Berry.
Howley Berry. Monster balls. All right.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, we were playing clips. I totally forgot. All right. Here's what year is it?
What's going on with you two? Are you on drugs or something?
1984. What about the war?
The war.
The war.
The war, you dummy.
Yeah, she's awfully calm. I mean, she's awfully irritated more with what they don't know than the fact that they just made her get in her car and drive them at gunpoint.
Wow. Yep.
Why does everybody always freak out when they ask you what year it is?
They always do in these movies.
Yeah, that's right in the previous Star Trek film.
What year is it? Oh my God, why are you asking what year it is?
You know what? I think it's one of those things that would never, there's no possibility of it ever actually happening. So when they try to portray it as happening, nobody knows how to do that right.
Well, let's say somebody did come up to you and say, excuse me, what year is it? You'd laugh your butt off. Like,
I think I'd go, and then I'd go, oh, shoot, he's serious.
You're looking for the clinic. It's down the way. See ya.
I live in Orange County. It would not surprise me at all. Not a bit.
That's true. That's a good point.
You'd say, are you looking for Dr. Drew, Mr. Sizemore? He's right over there.
Yeah, right up the street. Look for the nervous guy in glasses. All right, moving on. Lucky SOB.
You're a lucky son of a bitch, you know that?
I'm going to keep that one for other stuff. That's pretty good. I don't remember what that was from, though. I was a cop.
You're a lucky son of a bitch, you know that?
Yeah, because they weren't pressing charges.
Off. Yeah.
Well, actually, we thought it was because he wasn't pressing charges. What really happened was he got lucky in the prison cell.
We just didn't see that scene with the transvestite.
With that dude.
By the way, trope alert.
Oh, whoa, wait. I'm ill prepared. Here we go.
Vast majority of crimes, it don't matter whether you press charges against me or not. If I did it and a cop wants to put me in jail and take me to court, I'm going to court.
Yeah, why is that still a thing people buy? Like, I see it in new movies. Like, oh, I'm not going to press charges, officer. Doesn't matter, dude.
Head out onto the street. Bye-bye. Yeah.
He killed 50 people and blew up that school. We're still taking him in.
I actually have an example of a crime where rare crime where you have to press charges in order for it to be prosecuted. And last night, that is a neighbor of mine who just moved in. Lovely neighbors left, got replaced by a couple of college students. They're throwing a party yet again. Really noisy. Like one of those things where every now and then it sounds like a herd of elephants just started trumpeting.
Yeah.
And so what do you do? Gosh, it's midnight on a Saturday. Am I that much of a curmudgeon? All right, I guess I'm before I call the police because getting the Irvine Police Department involved in anything is not a good idea. I go on their website. I'm like, noise ordinance. What do they do? And it actually told me they would not respond if I wanted to report it anonymously. I had to.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
I had to be, and I really, this isn't the actual term, but I basically had to be deputized and file a citizen's arrest.
I love it.
In order for them to actually go knock on the door and say you guys need to shut up. And it really blew my mind. I'm like, wow, there is a case where you have to press charges. Yeah. You know, like you don't press charges, that's not going to happen.
Weird. I didn't know.
I like the idea of Deputy Randy myself, but I don't put
it. Randy, get back in the cell.
I just closed the window and turned on the air conditioner.
Randy, I don't know what's going on out there.
Samantha, get my bullet.
Oh, man. I don't know. You know what's funny is you say, I don't know what's if I'm weird or whatever. You're not. Every one of those college kids, they're all going to be you one day doing the same damn thing. Some kids are going to be making a bunch of noise. They got a kid trying to sleep, and they're going to have to go do that thing.
They're going to have to be that guy.
They don't know it yet.
But you got to knock it on the door.
And it's the first time you have to do that where you're like, oh, wow. I remember making fun of the guys who called the police on me when I was having a loud party. Yep, now I'm having to do it.
Yep. Yep.
Well, these are some. I'm actually looking at them right now. I'm looking out the window. They were just walking out.
Staring
to
at the you. Car. They're pointing at you.
These are a couple of big SoCal surfer dudes with sun-bleached hair. And they never wear a shirt. And
I hate these people you're talking about, by the way.
Thanks to the Red Hot Chili Peppers guy in Point Break.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't know if I really want to mess with these guys.
I don't blame you. I hate that. Point Break. And I hate the archetypes you're describing. I hate them already. I don't even have to be shown.
Unless they're listening to this podcast.
Go out and catch some tasty waves.
Yeah, man.
If you're a surfer dude with sunbleached hair and you love Film Sack, we love you too. Scott is exempting you from.
Yeah, you're fine. I don't like the stereotype, though.
I'm all that, but I'm not noisy.
I like two stereotypes. I don't like the stereotype. All right. Nurses never say this.
Sorry, you're going to have to leave right now. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Get out. Your friend's on fire and kind of electrical stuff going everywhere, and he's probably going to die. But if you just please leave now, thank you. Thank you very much.
I love they kept blaming him for bursting into flames. They kept blaming the dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
What are you doing? Stop it.
Doing that to my battle zone.
Didn't seem to have much control. What was the other game in there? I couldn't see it.
It was a Lunar Lander.
Oh, okay.
Two great games from 84.
The Battlezone, I used to just play the shite out of that. My Korean brother won so it was the day he won a digital watch for getting the highest score in that game in the same arcade, and I won a digital watch, like a Casio freaking calculator watch.
Face, brother!
I got it on Crazy Climber, the same arcade.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yep, you're getting like bigger.
Yep. Go for it! all right. Let's see. No need to do any retakes. Okay, here you go. Here's a line. He totally flubbed it up and they left it in. So Here it is.
All that stuff I told the doctors about there. Do you believe it? Believe any of it?
That's the worst.
You believe what's going on? Am I time traveling?
We're in daylight here, guys. Just run with it.
All right. Have we seen a worse leading man in terms of acting?
I don't think it was that horrible. Have we seen worse?
He was pretty. Who have we seen worse? Who?
I don't know. I'm putting Stallone above this guy.
I'm trying to think.
What are you talking about, Randy?
Dolph.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. You're right.
Dolph's defense. You're right. English, not first language, so.
Sure. Is that a defense?
Who knows? Michael Paré. Maybe he's French.
Maybe
he's from Brooklyn.
Canadian.
Halt, sinners!
Yeah, I don't know who. I don't know who to give it to there, but I think you're probably right. It's pretty close.
Keanu Reeves in the movie you just played, the Mnemonic.
Johnny Mnemonic, right.
Yeah. But Keanu's...
want room service!
That one.
He's a much better actor than this schlope. This guy, I there were times when I was aghast at how he had no ability to emote. Mm. None.
Mm. Really.
Mm-hmm. Everything was like this matter-of-fact mumble.
Yeah. He was pretty bad.
I thought it was from a very specific kind of time where that kind of acting was kind of, yeah, I don't know. I didn't think it was that bad.
I don't think in 84 we celebrated this kind of acting. I just think there was a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I think it was the lower threshold of what was acceptable. It's kind of like TV. You could never make the shows we made back then. Now nobody would watch them. They have
I would
to
totally
be these,
watch the A Team right now.
Well, I would, but they'd have to. They'd modern that thing up and be, you know, more
and
like
make
the movie.
A movie out of it. Yeah, yeah.
I still haven't seen that. Should probably watch
really?
That. Yeah,
really.
Yeah.
You should.
It's not as bad as you might.
No,
think.
It's not why I haven't seen it. I don't know why I haven't actually. I think I just haven't had the opportunity. But I actually kind of want to see it and have since I learned of it.
It was very good. I will watch anything with Bradley Cooper. Anything.
I'll watch anything with Mukhtar Flanagan, the guy from District 9, that guy, whatever his name is, the South American guy.
The only one that sucked was Murdoch. Yeah,
that's the one. No, I like him. You don't like him?
I didn't think he did a very good Murdoch.
I think it was real good.
I didn't think it was very good.
See, all right. Randy can redo a line when something goes wrong.
That's right. Okay,
but the thing about the A-Team movie wasn't at all Bradley Cooper. Like you could take him or leave him. If you really watched a lot of A-Team TV shows, it was just going down on you. This movie was like, and here's this other thing we always did, and most of the script is borrowed from the TV show, and so on.
Right. I'm cool with it.
Let's think about this for a second too. This was shot on. Oh, first of all, they obviously didn't have a very big budget because they went mono, and it was filmed in 35 mil. So do you think that might have been a determination of whether or not they went back and reshot something?
I like how you said it in that. The way, like you're a dude on the lot. Ah, they shot this in 35 mil.
35 mil, whatever. Come on.
Don't want to put that a meter out of there. Whatever it takes. Right. I don't know. I think it was just low budget. I don't think it's anything more than that. I think they just didn't have the money.
Yeah.
The way it worked.
They just didn't catch it. He just mumbled something and didn't even hear it.
Did he say it? Does Nike say to you? Yeah, let's go.
I mean, she was still a couple years away from RoboCop, right? She hadn't even done that yet, where she's probably most well-known.
Mm-hmm. Right. I did love that scene where she was standing in the doorway and they got the wind machine really going right there.
Yeah. Oh, right. That was pretty good. It's crazy out here. Want some Chinese food? Some empty cartons of Chinese food you can throw around a little bit?
I was a little bit curious because I was thinking... He was from 1940 something. They have Chinese food then? 1880 something or something like that, or 1860 was the first time we had a Chinese buffet in the U.S. I was surprised that it went that far back.
Yeah,
dude, Chinese have been eating food for centuries.
Yeah. Mm. Right, yeah. Chinese food for centuries.
And I wanted to tell him, I hate to tell you this, but an American Japanese man invented freaking fortune cookie. So enjoy fortune cookie today, Mr. World War II. I hate Japanese people. I was looking for a little subplot there, but they didn't do it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Tobolowsky.
I must have a malfunction. I keep getting negative pressure that keeps dropping. It's impossible.
It's mumbo jumbo, Tobolowsky.
Negative pressure keeps on dropping.
I wonder if he has talked about this movie on his podcast. I'm all curious now.
I'm curious too, yeah.
Are they other actors and people they have on? Is that the deal?
No, it's like it's an interview thing where he's kind of the co-host, but it's all about him, and so it's another guy kind of leading him through his stories of his movies. The one I've heard somebody sent to me because it was very music influenced. Like
He used to play guitar.
Yeah,
he used to play guitar in a band with somebody famous, like
Bruce Willis.
Like a musician, like a famous musician, like Jeff Beck.
Tell Bruce Willis that all that time he spent in that band was
No, I mean a real musician.
Right.
And he helped come up with something for the Talking Heads, like "Stop Making Sense," or there was some connection that he had. Dang, I wish I could remember.
Was it the Rainbow Connection?
No,
yeah, it was the Rainbow Connection.
Yeah, that was like when you heard David Byrne doing that. Jeez.
That was in this movie, Rainbow.
Yeah, The Lovers, the Dreamers, and Me.
This is not my Lovers and Dreamers. This is not my beautiful one.
I'm looking through my past emails to see if I can find, because somebody sent me an email and said, you have to listen to this episode, and darn, I can't find it anywhere.
Oh, how depressing.
Go back and listen to it.
All right.
Did y'all see the Commodore 64?
Yes.
No, I missed it.
Very good.
It wasn't the ad. The ad was, what was the ad? The ad was for the
Rainbow, because it was,
Rainbow,
it was,
that's right.
It was based on that guy's technology, apparently, or that technology was derivative.
Derivative technology.
In this universe.
You know what? If I started a company today, I would call it Derivative Technologies.
Derivative Technologies.
Doesn't that sound great?
it does, actually.
It would be great, because I'd be stealing everyone else's ideas. And,
right.
You know, like, oh, we kind of got an iPhone. Here at Derivative Technologies. This is sort of like a Canon camera. All right. We're almost done with these. It's the longest clips we've ever done in our lives. Hole.
We opened up a hole, Bonnie. We opened it up, and it stayed open.
And now it makes this noise.
It's the Philadelphia experiment right there. All right, more angry acting.
Maybe none of this is real. Hey, maybe this isn't real, right? Maybe this isn't real, or maybe this isn't real. Maybe none of this is real. Maybe I'm not real. Maybe you're not real. How about that?
Ooh, gosh. Slow down.
The Chinese food. Oh.
It's all over the place. Kung
Pao. The telephone.
I'm out of order. You're out of order.
Do you want to just get in the car and drive somewhere? That's what she's like. Don't break all my stuff. Oh. It's an automatic.
I'm going to leave.
I'm just going to go.
She almost reconsidered what she was doing for a second there. Yeah.
But then think about that marriage. Not going to be good, because it's going to be like, honey, we've got to get this our debt under control. Oh, I don't know. You never want to see the after effects.
Let's go see a talkie. What are you talking about?
Yeah. I mean, I hate movies where the girlfriend changes. I've always hated that. Where like the next movie, except James Bond, where it makes sense. But like the next movie, the girl you thought that was the big happy ending, she's not there anymore. You're right, like, oh, what the heck happened? And he explained it away with like one or two lines of dialogue. But then again, maybe we don't want
it. Bonnie Bedelia, Die Hard.
Yeah.
In Rocky VI, he visits his wife's grave.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So I don't know. But then I think I don't want to see that future. Those people are not made for each other. All right, moving on. It's the 80s, baby. Check it out.
Through the night.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Through the dome.
I got thinking that's like pretty good catch there for a movie. It's isn't that not Eagles?
I was thinking definitely. Night Ranger.
Night Ranger.
Foreigner.
Foreigner. That's it.
Was it Foreigner?
I would call that Foreigner. Let's try it one time.
If we don't stop this thing,
that's
soon.
Not it. Here.
Through the night, through the dome.
It might actually be a cover.
No, that's right. The original. I remember the song, and I was trying to remember to look at the soundtrack.
Something in the moonlight.
Yeah.
Manfred Mann.
The Runner by, there it is, Manfred Mann.
Manfred Mann.
The Runner.
Blinded by the Light, right?
That's Manfred Mann.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Perfect.
Did you guys hear the Falcon scream? There was a Falcon scream at one point.
Of course I did. I'm a little sad there was no, there could have been some good Wilhelms in this one, but they didn't do it.
No.
All right. What the hell this says?
If we don't stop this thing soon, the whole damn planet's in trouble. What the hell are we going to do?
Yeah! Way to go, Tobolowsky.
Yes, you just recognize that guy's voice anywhere.
Randy's laugh just now reminded me of this. Hold on. You just did this laugh that sounded like this guy right... Hold on. Right here. Just for a second. That was a kind of like, I got half a drink in my mouth kind of laugh.
Yeah. Right.
Last one.
All right, get down.
You'll never make it.
Shut up and get down.
Oh, geez. All right. Gosh. Guy's freaking out. All right. Enough of this business. Let's get on to our awards. Oh, those are quiet. Yeah. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to FilmSack Awards. This is where we award this film various awards given to him by the committee to elect awards for this stupid award thing. Here we go. First one. Hey, it's 1984 and transvestites are weird, right? Award.
Right.
The spontaneous combustible car award, and then finally the awkwardest kiss ever on screen award goes to dude and lady. Trek stuff.
And the horse.
Check out these Trek connections. Some good ones in here. Vaughn Armstrong played a cowboy in this. He played 13 separate characters in 28 episodes over four series in Star Trek's history. Wow. That's really amazing. Glenn
likes makeup.
Yeah, no doubt. Glenn Morshower, he was a mechanic in this, and TNG appeared in four episodes and also in the movie Generations, best known as Secret Agent Aaron Pierce on 24 and The West Wing as Mike Chrysler. So he was in this, and we just saw him on the island.
Right.
Didn't we?
Great guy. Yeah, he was,
He was the guy that pumped $3 worth of gas in the car. He's like, what the?
Here, for those not in the know, you'll remember him from this line.
That's great. Listen, you're a real hoot.
That guy right there.
Yes.
and it's fun to say his email address.
It is.
Gmoreshower.
Gmoreshower.
Yeah.
At gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, sorry, got lost there. Here we go. Ed Bakley was P.A. Willis. TOS played a Sarpedian native in that Planet's Past and All Our Yesterdays. And then Andrew Probert. Pre-production design consultant. I don't care about that. Let's see. Clay Wilcox. Transvestite.
He was the just happened?
I don't know. He's the transvestite. The transvestite on Enterprise. He played Billy in Carbon Creek, an episode on Enterprise. Not as a transvestite, I might add. For the soundtrack grade, I'm going to give it an NB for not bad. It's all right. There's worse things to listen to.
Yeah, well, it perked up when that song came on, that 80s Sanford Man song. Yeah.
In the night, underneath the moonlight.
But according to the lady at the very beginning, it really picked up when they started playing the trumpets and she stuck her finger up and started waving it around.
This is my kind of music.
That lady needed to get on the 10 o'clock train to Nutley. All right. Let's keep this moving here. Twitter post time. This is where you guys in 140 characters or less, you say, you pretty much just sum the movie up in those characters. Let's start with Randy.
The Philadelphia experiment. So that's it. They made a whole ship disappear and just walked away. They didn't even ask David Copperfield for help.
Was he around then? I guess he was around. He was doing stuff.
He was doing stuff. Sure.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Dunaway.
All right. The Philadelphia experiment. The final countdown in reverse.
Oh, we didn't even mention that. Sorry. Go ahead.
Right. In reverse. Mm-hmm. What if those two ships met in the same time hole? What would happen then? I don't know.
Whoa.
Two ships passing in the time hole.
Right?
That's your porn parody right there. Good job. And then also, finally, Mr. Brian Ibbett.
The Philadelphia Experiment. A couple 1940 soldiers find themselves in 1984. Turn on the invisibility switch. C8, you time-traveled my battleship.
Nicely done. Well, here's what I learned while you whispered most of your dialogue. When time traveling, don't drive by electrical towers. It's a bad idea.
True.
It'll set you on fire. If you're traveling back in time, you might want to... Oh, I said this. This is a warning. If you're traveling back in time, you might get poo hand. I guess he would travel forward in that time.
Right.
When chasing someone in a hospital, make sure you leap right over the old lady in the wheelchair. And that's what I learned. He just chucked right over this old lady.
Yeah, he did. Like O.J. Simpson to that thing.
Totally. Totally did. Not 90s O.J. Simpson, everybody.
Speaking of O.J. Simpson.
Go back and look at your Samsonite commercial.
Yeah, he would have killed her.
Did you see the interview with O.J. recently?
No, he did. What'd he do?
Oh, yeah, when he was trying to say I'm all better.
Yeah, well, he went to court and argued again that he, you know, he was just trying to get his stuff back.
Right. They had my stuff, and I was just getting
this is
stuff.
A separate case, though, right? This is the Vegas thing?
Yeah, this is the
right,
Vegas thing.
And he's been in prison, and he was trying to get paroled.
Right.
And he went over the whole thing again.
Yep.
And dude is... Whacked.
Still sounds insane as it did back then. Because it's like,
yeah,
it sounded just like somebody who's been sitting in a prison cell going, okay, what kind of excuse can I come up with for pulling a gun on the guy?
Ridiculous. Was it his defense that, hey, I was in Naked Gun 33 and a half or whatever the hell that was called?
Right. That would have been a better argument.
Here's the other thing. You know, remember Neverending Story, right? You got your Atreyu dog and your kid and all that. You remember the big rock creature that talked to
him? Yeah, yeah.
They look like big, strong hands.
That's what O.J. Simpson looks like to me now.
Right? His big neck.
Yeah, just thick-necked looking rock man. Anyway, good luck to him.
I think that he doesn't even understand that he's going to be kept in prison no matter what he says about this secondary crime because he killed two people.
And got away with it.
Right.
They're not letting this one slip.
No one will ever be the judge or the parole board or the anything that let him out of jail before his natural death.
Yeah, but if it doesn't fit, you got to requit or however the hell that went. How'd that go?
If the glove don't fit, you must acquit.
So it was nothing like I said then because I screwed that up.
And I don't know. That was a great Jackie Childs.
Yeah, right? I don't think he's going to stay in prison because of anything Randy's saying as a conspiracy theory. I think he's going to stay because he sounds insane.
Yeah.
He sounds like he's insane. They're going, no, we're not letting you out.
Well, in a way, I feel bad for him. In a way, I feel bad for him because if he's truly clinically insane, they probably need to put him in the right kind of hospital. Kind of prison.
All I'm saying, Brian, is like take whatever. There's also the fact that he killed two people. Like that, you know, like it. You can minimize all of it.
Right.
He
also
killed two people. So he's done. He's put away for
life. It doesn't matter what you do. It's like, hey, I didn't. Even if he got out, that will always hang over your giant freaking never ending story rockhead. Yeah. There's no getting around it. Hurts around a car. All right. Let's move on to some emails. Got one here from Tim who wrote in and says, oh, you know what? That's the one telling us about Maggie Grace. So never mind. Forget it.
Well, let's read it again because it was so much fun.
All right. He deserves that little.
Yeah. In the lockout episode, Scott made mention of a few occasions that Maggie Grace was an Iron Man. She wasn't. I think he's going to confuse with Leslie Bibb. Great name.
You really are going to read this email.
I am. But the important part is this. He says, I admit that Maggie Grace has some prominent roles in recent years, but that is probably because Maggie Grace is over 10 years younger than this other chick.
Okay.
Just trying to set the record straight. Tim. Thank you, Tim.
Thanks. And we
are going to be mistaken.
We would appreciate it if someone would write in about that for next week's episode.
You're going to be confused with the girl in Iron Man. And they're going to take you. All right. It's always Sean Connery for me.
Yeah.
They're going to lose your car keys to your Lotus. Okay. Hey, FilmSack crew. Loved your episode about Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter. Well, we're going way back for these. Shit Retriever, as Brian would call it.
Right. I was going to bring that one back.
But how have you not done Super Mario Brothers yet? Bob Hoskins, John Leguizamo, Dennis Hopper as Koopa, and Lance Hendrickson as a big blob of ooze. What could go wrong?
Right,
a lot. It's not on Netflix, but the entire movie is available via YouTube for free. You should tell someone should tell you something right there. Love the show, guys. Keep it up. Sean. And I would argue that should probably be on the list, and we should do that movie. I don't know when or where it fits.
I don't want to watch it via YouTube.
No.
I'll spend the money and just rent it via whatever.
It's high day. You can watch it in 720p. You can blow it up. It's no different than that. Well, you want to watch it on TV.
I don't think it'll work on my...
I forget that I'm a...
You're a cord cutter.
Well, no. I have to do this. Everything we watch for this show is in front of a computer because I'm capturing clips the whole time.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So I forget that's... not how you guys enjoy these films.
Yeah, I'm on a standing desk, Bubsy.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be sitting here for 2 hours watching
Bubsy.
Bad idea. I like the Bubsy. The Bubsy name is good.
Let's try to do Bubby.
Yeah, Booby. But you can, like, if you got an Apple TV or PS3 or whatever, they all have YouTube apps. They'll all play this stuff. You should try it there.
All right.
We'll think about it.
Every time I try to search for anything on the YouTube app on my Blu-ray player or TiVo or whatever, I get so many sound-alike names, or it's like, you know, it's somebody who's put up a video similar to draw you into watching their crap.
Yeah, like then and there'll be boobs on their version.
Oh no, I wish.
It's the worst thing.
Yeah, that would be a good alternative.
It's my least favorite thing about YouTube right now is every maybe you'll also like video. It's just like fail videos, but then it's just some girl's giant boobs on the front of it.
Oh yeah. Right.
I hate that. I'm not a dummy. I know what's going on. I'm like, look at this. You guys see that? They're boobs. I'm clicking that link. Who does that? Nobody does that.
The universe.
Because I know YouTube's got content rules and they're not going to go there and get boobs anyway. So you're just, it's a false errand. It's ridiculous. Anyway. Sorry. What's next? Swashbuckler next week. Swashbuckler.
Yeah.
Didn't it have two names, Randy? It was a two-named movie at some point, wasn't it?
Swashbuckler.
I think it has another name, but it doesn't matter. For our needs and for where it's showing up, it's up on your...
You're right. It needs a subtitle like Swashbuckler Adventure of All Time or something.
Something like that.
The buckling.
We don't know what this is, but we know James Earl Jones is in it, and we know other people are in it. Peter Boyle, you mentioned last week. Who else was in there?
A bunch of other people. Angelica Houston.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a the Addams Family lady, for those who don't know who that is. Daughter of, isn't she one of the daughters of
John Huston?
Right, Sam Houston, actually. Daughter of Sam Houston.
I thought it was John Houston.
What?
No?
I'm just kidding.
No. Who's Sam Houston?
The guy who founded Dallas? What?
But anyway, I'm looking forward to that. It'll be a fun little dip back into the 70s. So join us for our coverage of Swashbuckler. Watch it on Netflix. It'll be there before you know it. Or it's there now, I guess. So watch it. I think that's it. Oh, and another note, we'll be doing Nerdtacular 2013 in July. And when we do, we'll be covering the film Star Trek III. The rebirth of what the hell? Search for Spock.
Search for Spock. The rebirth.
I couldn't think. I've been doing this too long. So that's coming up next, very soon. And that's not streaming anywhere, but definitely watch it ahead of time. And for those folks at home who can't come to the event, definitely we'll be putting this up on the stream. So get the live version of that as well as possibly video and other things as well. Looking forward to that very much. I think that's going to do it.
You can watch the whole thing on Vimeo.
You sure can.
5-minute increments.
Wow, well, that's fantastic. The quality is amazing. Check us out on the web, filmsack.com. Email us, filmsack@gmail.com. On Twitter, we can be found at filmsack. We encourage you to follow us there. Please do. And that's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see you next time.
Slits.
Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.